Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. It's Friday, and we're so glad you're here. Pam and I are getting ready for some fun Disney conversation to kick off that weekend right now. Why wait until Saturday? Let's have some fun Disney talk to get this week closed out. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at The Magic for Less Travel. Lots going on in the Disney universe right now, but I want to remind you that earlier this week, Disney Cruise Line announced the summer 2020 itineraries. They are now able to be booked by everyone, and these ships are going some amazing places. The Magic's going back over to Europe, including an amazing tour of the Greek Isles. That one's going quickly. That's a really spectacular cruise. The Wonder's heading back to Alaska in summer of 2020. We have some great Caribbean cruises as well. Some unusual itineraries, shorter itineraries with the Fantasy. Just drop by themagicforless.com for all the details. While you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote. And you and I are going to be working together to get you in the best Disney cruise to have the time of your life. There is nothing like a Disney cruise. I'm platinum with Castaway Club. I love the ships. I've been on all four, and I'm telling you, you're going to have an amazing time. And when you book with the Magic for Less Travel, you're going to get a great onboard credit to spend just like cash on your port adventures, your spa appointments, your drinks, whatever you want. It's money in the bank, literally, right there waiting for you when you get on the ship. So check them out today. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. They're over at themagicforless.com. And again, quick reminder to use our Amazon affiliate link anytime you do that online shopping. We sure appreciate it. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1456 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. We hope that you are having a great wrap to your week and kicking it off with some fun Disney cruise talk. I've been up to my ears and talking with the agents and the guest services folks over at Disney Cruise Line, talking Magic, Wonder, Fantasy, and Dreams. And then we'll have three more to add here shortly, so I'll have to get that going. But for right now, we're going some great places in summer 2020, and we're getting ready for an amazing podcast cruise in 114 days, I think it is, if I do the calculations correctly. It's soon. It's getting here, finally. So we're going to have some fun talking to Disney Cruise today. Joining me, we have a special guest here. She is she went down to Florida, and you know, that was back in what, December or something? I don't know, but she is back. We are so glad to have her. The heart and soul of the Be Our Guest podcast, Pam Forrester from the Magic for Less Travel. Pam, what's going on?
What a compliment. I'll take that. I'm so glad to be back. I miss it when I'm not here every week. So we took a quick little Disney vacation and cruise vacation and did a few things. So that was really nice to have that opportunity. I checked on our ship, by the way.
Yes,
just wanted to let you know, good. Checked on it. It's looking good. Looking good. And you may know it's going to go into dry dock in 2020, but Disney Cruise Line does a great job with keeping those ships looking great all the time. And I'm happy to say that our ship looks great. There's lots of great activities there on there for us. We did, you know, lots of activities, and we ate at Palo a couple times. We had a great server in Palo, Ricardo, who took such wonderful, wonderful care of us. I hope we have a chance to see him again in June when we're there. But yeah, I mean, it's awesome. I come back from one cruise and I get to make arrangements for the next cruise.
Absolutely. Now, who was your, you had the same activities director we had on Podcast Cruise 4 in the Fantasy. What was his name? Oh, man. I love that guy. He loves Scott and I. We go to everything.
Dina was there, but he was not the activities director, I don't think.
Was he just cruising or was he working?
I don't know. He was working. I just don't know that he was the activities director. He could have been. We just didn't go to enough of the activities, although we went to what we thought was 80s music trivia, which I knew. You know, Mike, that I slay at this.
I know. That's kind of the Be Our Guest podcast like specialty. Like if you put us together in some 80s music trivia, you're going down, people. You're going down.
Exactly. So, but when we got there, it was actually like cruise, like music, like activity, sort of like a, you split into two teams depending on the room. And then you had to do stuff when you, you know, knew what the song was. It was not at all what I had thought. So anyways, I'm very upset that I didn't get to display my 80s trivia.
I remember, though, that they did that at the end of one of the podcast crews. I remember because Messiah, it was the very last night of the cruise, and we had had a great time. I think it might have been three. And Messiah, I just remember she was like, we were in teams and we were doing, because it would ask initially like an 80s music question. But then like, all of a sudden the place would go crazy. Everybody's up on the dance floor. We're doing the YMCA or whatever. And I mean, Messiah was like a wild woman that night. It was awesome. Like she was so into this event. And it was, I just remember like it was the greatest way to end the podcast cruise. Everybody was dancing together, having a great time. But the competitive person in me was like, they always make this a tie, like 50-50. Nah, we got to have winners and losers. Who won? Who won? Come on.
By the way, our team won. We stole two of their questions and they still made it a tie. I'm like, I don't know about that. But then afterwards, they did the silent DJ dance party.
Oh, I so want to do this because I've never done one. So I've seen them, but I've never done one. Oh, man, I'm into that.
Because our group would, you'd all have your headphones on and there's three different channels playing three different songs, okay? And you can change it. And all of a sudden everyone would go like, oh, go to green, go to green. So anyways, it was actually really fun. So we'll hopefully they'll be doing that during the BOGP5 cruise. And I saw over on the Facebook group, and if you're going on the cruise and not part of the Facebook group, make sure you ask to be invited, but they're choosing a theme for this cruise, and it looked like it might have to do a little bit with Ohana and Stitch. So.
I like it because we are family.
And I like that Stitch is going to show up.
Well, it's a travel
agent. My gladness level may be up here.
It's a travel agent. I really don't like to see Stitch or Wreck-It Ralph, but I will let that one pass. All right. Very so true. Thanks Very everybody true. Who's joining us live here in the Facebook group. We are so appreciative that you tuned in live and we appreciate when you listen to the show on the feed. So today we are talking cruising, but we're talking specifically considerations for things to do for your cruise before you get on the ship. So there's a lot to think about, but when you think about it with a cruise, it's not as intense as going to Walt Disney World. With Walt Disney World, you have way more things to consider, way more variables you're considering. You just got the scope of how large Walt Disney World is. And when you think about it in the big picture, a cruise ship is very all-inclusive, and it's not as large as you're going to travel when you're down at Walt Disney World. So, Pam, when it comes out, like, we have the podcast cruise coming up. We sail June 28th, okay? So we're approximately 4 months out, a little less than 4 months at this point. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I think you got to think about is, you know, obviously kind of the big bugaboo is the final payment. You got to get that done because before final payment, you're not allowed to do online check-in, which kind of is the first domino in a series of things you'll take care of from that point.
Yeah, it really is. And the thing that you want to know is if you are anything but a first-time cruiser, if you are a gold or platinum or silver cruiser, you're going to want to pay your final payment in advance. And we usually bump your final payment up to that point, but so that you can take advantage of the opening of activities and dining that is available to you as a Castaway Club member, you get to do that in advance. So just like someone who is staying on site at Walt Disney World gets to make their fast passes 60 days in advance, you might get to make your cruise plans in advance based on your Castaway Club level. So make sure you are paying that cruise off so you can take advantage of that, because you have to be paid in full to make any cruise activity reservations.
That's right. And Disney Cruise Line Rewards, obviously, it's kind of their like, you know, Royal Caribbean has the Crown and Anchor Society, you know, Disney Cruise Line has Castaway Club, and it is determined by how many previous cruises you've sailed. And the cool thing is as soon as you get done with your first cruise, you're in the club. You're silver for your next sailing. So that's pretty awesome. So if you've sailed one time, you're in the club, you get to do things a little bit earlier than everybody else. Then it goes up to gold, then it goes up to platinum. which has, you know, different perks. You get different onboard credits for that. You get little gifts in your stateroom, which is kind of fun when you arrive. You know, nothing huge, but I mean, you know, it's fun to get recognized that you're in some kind of club and you're loyal to the Disney Cruise Line. So, you know, always check with that. I think last time, Pam, as I sailed, I spent a lot of money on Disney Cruise Line, but I'm platinum now. The rest of my family's not. They're close. I always kid them about that. I'm like, you guys can wait out there. I'm platinum. You're gold. But, you know, they give you, like, I remember we got, like, a travel bag with, like, sets of, like, games. You could, like, dominoes and, playing cards. And you got invited to a little party with the captain, I think. I mean, just stuff like that. It's nothing big. But, I mean, I appreciate that. I like the onboard credit, too.
For sure. Yeah, it's a fun thing. So, yeah, absolutely. You just got to take advantage of that. So know that. Make sure that you make plans to do that. Take advantage of that early booking window, because some things really get booked up early. And the things that get booked up early that you're really going to want to try to get are Palo, Remy. If you want a cabana at Castaway Cay, some of the excursions do, but you're typically okay with that. Some of the meet and greets, there is a Frozen meet and greet and there is a Princess meet and greet that can sometimes get a little full too. So make sure you take advantage of that. If you want a certain time for the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, you're going to want to book that as early as possible too.
I will say too, the Princess meet and greet. Now, of course, meeting Anna and Elsa is a big deal too. So you want to get that scheduled if you can. But the princess thing, if you've never sailed with Disney Cruise Line, it's a genius idea. I love this. And they started doing this years and years ago. And they did this before you could pre-schedule get a ticket for the event. But basically what happens is one morning of your cruise, I think it's usually the sea day, but not necessarily, they'll have like five or six princesses all in the atrium area. And basically, your little, you know, kids that want to meet them or adults, who cares? Everybody wants to meet princesses. What you do is you queue up, they give you a ticket, and boom, you go right down the line. Boom, 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 boom. And meet all the princesses, get all the pictures, get all the autographs. I mean, it's super efficient. And it's really, here's what I like about cruising in general, but especially the morning of this event, is that, you know, sometimes Pam would, you know, stand in line with Mallory and, you know, I get antsy. So I'm walking around taking pictures and so forth. And I remember one morning I was up, you know, a couple decks, because the atrium, you can look down from other decks, you know, so you can go up a couple decks and really get some kind of comprehensive pictures. But it's really cool not only to see your kid meet these six princesses or five princesses, you know, Cinderella, Snow White, Tiana, what have you. But it is just, it's amazing to see, because for the most part, people sailing with Disney Cruise Line are huge Disney fans. And you see these kids that, I mean, this are losing their minds meeting these princesses. I mean, that's really what it's all about as a Disney fan. So I think that's true of like the diaper dash and all these other activities, but especially on Princess Morning, boy, you see some cool stuff.
Yeah, it is. We have a picture. Actually, we use it sometimes on the Magic for Less Travels Facebook page and other social media, that is this little picture of this little girl meeting Cinderella. And Cinderella is down. Her gown is all around her. She's sitting down on the floor. And this little girl is running up to her with her arms open. And if that isn't something that's going to create a memory for mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, aunts, uncles, friends, whatever, I don't know what is. It's just, you can tell that these are kids that are absolutely just so buying into the magic and so excited about that. So we love that. Just love seeing that. And that's what Disney has really made available, I think, on the cruise line with all those character greetings. So I'm so happy to see that.
I know every once in a while I get a little tear, you know, because like I have two daughters, but man, they grew up too fast. Like one is graduating college this spring and the other one is, she thinks she's graduating college this spring. Like, man, I'm telling you, if you have those little girls, you know, and little boys too, but you got to hold on, man. It goes so stinking fast. Oh,
I know. It does.
It's ridiculous. All right. So let's get back on track here. I love talking about the fun stuff, but let's get to the nuts and bolts. So you make your final payment. The next thing you're going to do is online check-in at DisneyCruise.com. And I've said this for years with my guests and just to everybody I talk to that's a Disney fan. Disney Cruise Line does their IT right. Like, this is an efficient, orderly, logical system to get ready for your cruise. Basically, well, walk us through when you do that online check-in, Pam. You've done it a bunch of times. I've done it a bunch of times. Basically, they get all the stuff out of the way that you need to get out of the way with, like, your documentation to get on the ship. Like, what's your passport number? You know, how are you going to charge for everything? Like, put a credit card on file so because it's a cashless system on the ship. You know, are you going to travel with a legal ID and a birth certificate? You know, you get all that stuff squared away. What's that going to be like? Then you kind of progress down through like seven steps of kind of, it gets to be the mundane, the necessary stuff at the beginning, and then it starts to get fun.
It does. And you do like your emergency contact. And if you've traveled with Disney Cruise Line in the past, things like your passport will still be in there. That information will still be there. So that's really nice. You just need to confirm that. Make sure you look at that expiration date. We always advise guests their passport should be good for at least 6 months after the cruise. That's important for a number of reasons. The cruise line can actually deny boarding if your passport is not at least 6 months, valid for at least 6 months after. So, and that's just for your protection.
Why is that? Are they worried you're going to be stuck on the ship for 6 months, maybe? I mean, maybe so, it's going to like turn into like a Gilligan's Island thing. Like you go out for a four-nighter to the Bahamas and you end up doing circumnavigating the globe. I don't right? know what's up.
It is totally your protection. So let's say some medical emergency happened and you were actually stuck in the Bahamas at that hospital for an extended period of time. Then at least that 6 months gives you a buffer and you're still able to fly home. That's the big thing with cruising, why a passport is so important. If something were to happen and you needed to get off the ship and get home for some reason, and you don't have a passport, that becomes a challenge in terms of flying because you need to have the passport to fly. The boat is slow, my friends. It takes a while. You're going to want to fly as opposed to being on a ship for an extended period of time. So, you know, make sure you have all that documentation squared before you go. And then you get to do things on midnight, you know, like we talked about, make all those arrangements for activities like the alcohol tastings and your dining in terms of Palo and Remy and different brunches, the character meet and greets that are available to do online, your shore excursions, your spa treatments. So many great things become available through that online check-in process. And it's, I mean, that's exciting. When you get to do that, that part is really exciting. So, you know, that's something that you can look forward to.
And the way it works, too, is very, you know, I mean, it's common sense and it's how many websites do work. Unfortunately, Walt Disney World's My Disney Experience doesn't necessarily work this way, but it's basically taking items and just placing them in a cart. And basically what you're building is a day by day schedule for you. And you're guaranteed into those, you know, events where, you know, you want to parasail on Castaway Cay on your second day. If you're doing a double dip, boom, it's there. It's just, it's money in the bank and it gives peace of mind, especially, like I said, we're 3.5 months out, and I have a great idea of guaranteed experiences. Some people ask about, like, how is it charged? And with Port Adventures, you know, or Disney calls them Port Adventures, you know, they shore excursions are basically kind of what they are. Those are not, you know, you build them, you put them under your schedule, but they're not charged to your account until the actual event happens. Because a lot of people worry about weather or, you know, sometimes you can't get into a port because of certain circumstances, you know, usually high waves or weather. But, you know, build your itinerary the best you can, right, Pam, initially, and then don't worry about that until, you know, well into the cruise.
Right, absolutely. It will be on your cruise account when you're there. And the great news is any onboard credit that you get, like the onboard credit the Magic for Less Travel gives you, you can apply towards the cost of those things. And that's what I know that so many of our agents do, joke around with their guests, like, use that onboard credit for something fun.
Not tips. Not tips.
Not gratuities. Absolutely. Absolutely. Use it for something fun. Use it for a spa treatment or drinks on us or buy that $140 pillow, my friend.
No, yeah, that's okay. If you want to, go ahead. That just, man. That pillow's cool. Like, I've almost bought it like 5 times. Then I get home like, man, what do I do with that pillow? Like, I know you have one, though, so I can't talk.
I do. I have the blue one that's available in the concierge staterooms, and I have the red one, too. I know I like
They're
it.
Awesome.
You know, at the end of the day, it's like, it's a memory. The red it one's is. On my bed. I mean, it's on our bed in our master bedroom. So anyways, but yeah, use that onboard credit for something fun because there's so many things to plan for. But I think everyone, especially those who are Disney planners, kind of like you sort of breathe a sigh of relief after you get to go through that process of picking activities. You're like, okay, now my day's set. Now I know what I can do. I mean, so I like that. I like that part of the process. We've already done it for the BOGP cruise. We picked some of the activities. We're going to tweak them based on what other people can get. But we, you know, have some things locked down. And I will say, you know, so many times people ask us, is paying for Palo, is paying for Remy actually worth it? Because those are the two places you have to pay to dine. And I will absolutely say yes, yes, and yes. And I bet Teresa will back me up on this. But we had two dinners at Remy, or a dinner and a brunch at Remy last time we did this. They were some of the highlights of our trip, really and truly. They were just so much fun. Love them. And you know too, Mike, doing Palo in incredible. God. That brunch.
I can't.
That brunch is the best. Mike hurts himself at the brunch.
I do. That's the whole thing. Is like I booked it again because I love it. And I'm just like, why am I doing this to myself? Because it's I come out ahead on that thing. I eat so many little desserts. Like I say, oh, those are only little shot glass desserts. But I eat 17 of them, you know, and it's like 11 o'clock in the morning. What am I doing? But it's, I mean, everything there is so light and tasty. And then the sticky buns, I can't even, like I dream of, I'll start having dreams of those for the next 3 months. No, but I mean, you're right.
Cheese.
Like, so good. Yeah, you're right. I mean, the thing is, when you look at the overall cost of your cruise, you know, you're talking $30 or so for, you know, an add-on, $100 for Remy, you know, or so. And it can make the experience, like you said, it can be the memory of the cruise. A lot of times for me, it's the events that we do. But I mean, I love these meals. That's the best meal I'll have. And that, you know, every 2 years is my Palo brunch or my Palo dinner. So it's so worth doing. And here's the thing, too. And I know a lot of people are maybe asking or worried about this, that say you're a first time cruiser or you're silver. Time comes to make your reservations after your online check-in. You're up midnight. You know, you're doing everything right. You know, you go for the night that you want to eat at Palo. You're wanting to have a 6:30 meal, 7 o'clock meal. Boom, it doesn't show up. Pam, what happens in that instance? Because Disney Cruise Line has thought of that too. So not all is lost when you don't see your preferred time on your preferred night when it's time to do online check-in.
Absolutely. So I will give you this little nugget. You all know, I've confessed this many times in the podcast, for my own plans, my own travel, I am not my best travel agent. In fact, often true. My family would like somebody else to book our trips because they feel like they would get more attention from someone else. So there have been many times when I've arrived on the cruise with nothing booked and I go to Palo or go to on the day that you first get on the cruise, they have something set up where you can go talk to the folks in charge of dining. And you can go there and they will go ahead and help you try to get something that is available. So I've been able to get on the ship and get those Palo reservations that just weren't available for me when I was making them online. So even if you can't get what you want in terms of Palo or Remy, or even shore excursions, spa treatments, everything, once you get on the ship, you're going to be able to go to, for instance, dining. They'll have on the navigator when you check in for that first day. If you want to make any changes to dining, you will go to a certain location and you'll go there and see what they have available. And they may still be able to get you in. If not, you can be put on the waiting list for Palo and or Remy. Do the same if there are shore excursions, if there are spa treatments. Anything you might want to have done, but you weren't able to get in that pre-planning time before you got on the ship, go ahead and try. And keep trying, too, before you get on the ship. Sign in every now and then, check and see what's available. You never know what might pop up.
So I think here's the frustrating thing for, you know, hardcore Disney fans that we're speaking to today that are getting ready for a Disney cruise. You know, because you said it's super exciting that night when you do your online check-in. I mean, mm-hmm. like you are just pumped up. Usually it's the middle of the night when you know, if you're a really hardcore fan, you're doing it midnight or 11 o'clock my time right? in the central time zone. And it goes quickly. Like you're done by like 11:15, 12:15. Like you've got everything planned. It's like, man, that was way, every time I do it, I'm like, that was way too easy. I wish Walt Disney World was that simple because, you know, I'm doing that for days. And so, you know, you're set, but I think the frustration is like, we're all like the platinum people and the gold people will be here soon. Like you're in that limbo time where I've checked in, I've got my Palo reservations, I've got this and that, I've got my, you know, plans built initially at least. Now, what do I do? I have 3.5 months. So what kind of things can you do to get yourself prepared for the best Disney cruise ever after you're checked in, but before you actually, you know, head down to Florida? And always go, at least be in Central Florida or close to your port at least 24 hours ahead of time. I got it. It wasn't, one of my guests said they went early and they were thankful because they were in town 24 hours early, but people that she was in a Facebook group with that they traveled with had to fly to Nassau to get on the ship because their flight was delayed out of Boston. And so she's like, tell Pam, I said, thank you for that advice. So Pam, there it is. So I was like, thank God. I was like, oh man. I was like, that'd be the worst to have to, because I told her, like, you know, I'm glad that she made it, because when I think about that family that had to fly to Nassau, you miss that initial getting introduced onto the ship. You know, you're wide-eyed and bushy-tailed when you get on at Port Canaveral. You have the sail-away party. There's nothing like those first few hours on the ship, and they missed it. Like, that breaks my heart for them. So what else can you do, Pam, besides make sure you're there 24 hours ahead of time? But how do you pass the time until your cruise?
I love that you mentioned that, because you know that's my number one rule. Number two rule is get travel insurance for your cruise. Absolutely get travel insurance. End of story. There can be so many things that travel insurance can compensate for. If you get sick and you miss days of your cruise because you're stuck in your cabin, that's something that travel insurance can cover if you're late getting there, all those things. So anyways, those are my two pieces, big pieces of advice. But the thing that I find that I'm typically doing is, although I'll make dining and other reservations right away, it's usually shore excursions that I still need to tweak a little bit. And I read about them. I read about each of the shore excursions and see, like, what's really going to appeal to me. You know, I learn a little bit about where you're going, find out what is going to appeal to you in terms of what you're going to do every day of the cruise. Then, of course, I'm starting to think about things that are going to make my cruise packing a little easier and my cruise a little easier. And packing is a little bit of a challenge for a cruise because, first of all, you're taking dress clothes and casual clothes and swimsuits and cover-ups and, you know, all that stuff. There have been cruises where we brought our own snorkel equipment because we love to snorkel. I've given up on that and just typically use the Castaway Key stuff now and rent that because it's just like one more suitcase to bring. But think about that. So think about things that are going to make your small stateroom a little easier to navigate. And I'll tell you the things that I use for that. First of all, an over-the-door shoe holder, although you're not allowed to put them on the doors anymore, we just hang them in the closet. Mm-hmm. And that is perfect for all those little things that are like all over the place. You know what I mean? The hairbrush, the sunscreen, everything that's just like kicking around. It keeps everything really organized. We tend to bring those little foldable cubes that sort of pop open into like a square.
Kind of like I that put box
those,
right there.
Yes, right. I put those in the closet to get to corral all the shoes. I put them underneath the like sink vanity to corral all of the, you know, makeup and everything else, you know, that's in there. I love things like that. You're going to want to bring not a strip, but like a USB hub, a hub to plug everything into. You aren't allowed to bring strips on.
You got to be creative in how you're going to charge your devices. Seriously, I mean, right. Because they will confiscate that stuff. Pam got a hairdryer taken.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
And it was her favorite hairdryer. I'm like, how do you have a favorite hairdryer? Like, she was attached to that thing. We didn't get it back. We forgot.
But one of the things we just learned, Jocelyn had a sound machine confiscated. Now, those are just recently something that they have put on the list of things that you may not be able to bring on. Supposedly, if they are UL approved, you can bring it on, but they will take it from you and check it to make sure that it is before giving it back to you. So read that list of things that you're not allowed to bring on. Some people are surprised by that. I bring a little USB fan. The cruise staterooms sort of, you know, it's not, the air needs to move around them a little more. And so that sort of helps with that, especially at night, to do that. So I, you know, I always bring something like that. One of the things that people do, you know, that a lot of people bring is that like poopery or whatever it is that you to make the bathroom, you know, a little more fresh.
Oh, there you go. Actually, that was a fish extender gift from our last cruise, and I still have it. I still have it in my bathroom right behind me here. It's from the Griffiths. It's from Jay and Melissa, and it says ship happens. So
and it does
with a P. Just so everybody knows, that was great. It was a great fish extender gift. Very practical.
Right. It does work. So And that's, you know, Jocelyn's mentioned in the chat room to bring some strong magnet hooks. That's also a great place because then you can walk in, put your lanyards or whatever you're using to keep your ID on you right there on those hooks. So, you know, that's an important thing to make sure you bring some decorations for your door. Yes. Because all those doors look the same, right? You can't use tape or anything like that on the doors, but you can use magnets. And we always bring magnets for things like that. So those are just a few of the things we always bring.
Yeah. Another thing I would say is I always bring like an extra gift card, even if it doesn't have anything left on it, because the way the stateroom electricity works is that you have to have, basically it's made for your room key so that when you're in there, your room key's in the slot and it keeps your lights on and everything running. But I mean, if you want to keep things running and they'll pull it out when the housekeeper comes to turn down your bed, but it's okay. You know, instead of pulling out my room key all the time, I'll just stick in like a discarded, you know, something that's got the code, the strip on the back, the magnetic strip.
Right. I think even if you put a piece of paper in there, it works. It just has to have something that blocks the light, I think.
Really? Okay. Yeah. And I mean, people have given those out. Again, okay. So if you're in a group cruise, you do these things called fish extenders, which way back in the day, the first ship, I know, tell me about it. It's like, okay, here comes, we're having, it was all fun and games till we got to the fish extenders and everybody's sweating. I'm like, oof. I just turn this one over to my wife usually. So anyway, fish extender gifts, basically what they are, little trinket little items. If you're sailing with a group, it's kind of fun to exchange gifts, and they're done different ways. Sometimes, please do it this way. You give one gift for the entire cruise, you know, and somebody, because these ships are large and you got to deliver them to all the staterooms, like secret, it's kind of like a Secret Santa type thing. You deliver them once, or some groups do them every single night of the cruise. That's a lot of steps. I mean, I'm into steps, but not necessarily for that. So what happens is a lot of times people will, you can either like have these little trinkets, because remember, you got to give them to everybody and everybody gives you a gift. So you got to think of something that's, you know, that's doable. And a lot of people make their own, and some people are way more creative. I know that I am. It's amazing. But a lot of times they'll either represent the theme of the cruise, you know, like if you have a theme, or they can represent like the area you're from. So I remember one time Joanne gave us all, what was it called? Skyline Chili, because she's from Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it. Like, that's a great idea. And I love learning about it, where everybody else is from. I love when you get something from somebody else's hometown or city. But, you know, again, before you cruise, you got to think about, you know, like one time we did, I think it was the last cruise, we did ice cream, like toppings, because you get free ice cream on the machine there on deck 11. So we had like little batting helmets, Cardinal batting helmets, toppings, Cracker Jacks. But I mean, you got to think about it. Like, you got to get like 80 of these things to the ship. And if you're flying, that's a challenge. I mean, you got to consider the logistics of how to get your fish extender gifts down there without crushing them and them going bad and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And how you're going to get the fish extenders back home. Yes, that you received.
Yeah, that's
exchange,
true.
Because
you get
right?
A lot of stuff. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah.
It's yeah. True. One year, of course, we did we did these glass ornaments that had sand in them already. Well, TSA had a field day with those. They had to go through each one and pour a little bit of sand out of each one in case it would be an explosive material of some sort. So I was like, dude, holy
was that,
cow.
Was that, that was Ricky's gift, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure that was Ricky handing us all the TSA stuff. She did one other thing. She did really cool one year was just like a paintbrush, and she painted the handles, and it was to get the sand off your feet when you got back on the ship. I mean, they're simple, but I think simple is great for fish extenders.
Yeah, it is. It is. And think of something that, you know, everyone, that's easy to transport. I'm saying just to keep that in mind, maybe.
Yeah, speaking of that, I saw on Instagram yesterday, Samantha Brown, you know, the Travel Channel. She was actually on our podcast once, which is like my claim to fame. I got to talk to Samantha Brown.
Right?
But she took her family to Walt Disney World for vacation this past week. And I think they were staying at Yacht Club. I couldn't tell. Because, you know, of course, they're, you know, shooting little videos and stuff. And I'm looking like, what hotel are they in? It looked like Yacht Beach. But anyway, they were packing up to come home. And it was so cute because she has, I think, twin boys that are about six. You know, five or six or something. And they had Mickey balloons. And God help them, that little boy was trying to put that big old Mickey balloon into a suitcase to take home.
Aww.
It didn't work out. But I mean, that's, you do got to think about things like this. Another thing I get from guests a lot of times, Pam, is like, should I carry on water? How much water should I bring? Personally, I think the water on the cruise ship is amazing because they have their own filter system. It's great. It doesn't taste like, quote, Florida water. You know, it's highly chlorinated. I don't know. I'm fine. And water's heavy, and it's a pain in the butt to carry around. But, I mean, where do you fall in the water bringing it on?
So I always bring on a case of water.
Oh, it's so heavy.
I know. With your bags. We check it with the porter.
Yeah.
We put it in a bag and check it. Just because they sell Dasani now on there, and you can actually order it from the cruise line. You can order, I think it is a 12 pack of water, but it's so much more expensive for the $5 I pay for it at Target. I figure, you know, if they won't let me bring it on, I've lost $5. True. You know what I mean? But so I do take it on, because I like that. But you're right. The water has gotten a lot better, and it's actually a lot better than some of the restaurants at Walt Disney World. So I like to hear that. But yeah, we do bring on water just because we drink it so much.
And one of the other things too to consider for your Castaway Key Day, if you're, you know, you want to have water, but you don't want to have to deal with the logistics of getting it there because you guys rent a car, but some people don't have a stop at Target, is that they come around with this cooler, and I think it comes with like a 6-pack of water, and it's iced down, and it's not that expensive. I want to say, like, and you get to take the cooler home, which now that we have like 5 of them, we never use them. You know, it's like we never remember that we have them. We should use them. Like they're sitting in the storage room.
I brought mine back this time.
Yeah. See, so we need to remember that. And the same thing with like the tools. Like when Mallory was little and built sandcastles, we got like 4 or 5, you know, kits from She Sells Seashells or whatever, you know, where you get the junk to build sandcastles. But I mean, I think you really do need to hydrate when you're on Castaway Key if it's a hot, sunny day. We'll be there in the middle of the summer. And they come around, they'll bring you the little cooler with the waters in it, they're iced down. And you know what? For $15, it's worth the convenience, I think, on Castaway Key.
I absolutely agree. And that's the thing you got to think about, you know, that when depending on when you're going to be there, and even the day that we were there was pretty hot, think about the things that you're going to need for the sand. You know, a bag that lets the sand filter out, if you're going to be playing in the sand, all those things. Think about the ports that you're visiting. You know, a lot of excursions involve some walking, so make sure that you have good walking shoes in there, whether it's tennis shoes or whatever shoes you're comfortable in. But I've seen some people on an excursion and we're walking a few miles and they're in yes. crappy flip-flops yes. and they're dying. You know what I mean? So don't do that. You know, don't forget that. And just think about during, you know, what's the weather going to be like? Sometimes you're cruising during months when it's cooler, you're going to want a jacket, or you're going to want, you know, something a little warmer. I even think when we're there during the summer, some of the dining rooms can get a little chilly. So I bring like a cardigan or something that I can just throw over whatever I'm wearing, just because, you know, you do get cooler in the evening. So think about that too.
And Dennis in the chat room, you know, he says that he uses his cooler many times. It's a great idea. So yeah, that's, I agree. I mean, it's a nice little souvenir, you know, you get a souvenir out of it, and it's also practical on the island. So we've kind of hit some of those things, you know, to think about before your cruise. You know, we haven't even gotten on board to talk about everything that happens during a cruise. But as we kind of close this one out, Pam, you know, Disney Cruise Line obviously has opened up the summer 2020 itineraries. And as of today, when the show comes out, everybody can book. It doesn't have to be a Castaway Club member. So if you're looking at that, just give us the quick nuts and bolts. I mean, it's always important to book as early as you can, because it's supply and demand with cruises. As the ship fills, you got to think about it, as there's less inventory, because as more people book, there's less staterooms available. So there's more of a premium on those staterooms. So the prices increase as the ship fills. Obviously, maybe you want to be on a certain deck, or you want to be on a certain, you want to be aft, you want to be forward, you want to be midship. You know, it's just the sooner you do things, the better off. And there's really no penalty for going out early. Right, Pam?
Absolutely. That is another great piece of advice when you're looking at Disney Cruise Line. As soon as those itineraries are released, that is going to be the least expensive time that you can book those itineraries. Like Mike said, as the ship fills up, the stateroom price is going to increase. And some of them increase really quickly. If there's special sailings, those can increase really quickly, things like that. So make sure that you go ahead and do that. And the deposit is fully refundable up until the final payment date, except for insurance. So keep all those things in mind. And 2020 has some really exciting new itineraries, including the fact that it's going to Greece. You know, I think that anyone who has seen those beautiful beautiful white buildings on Mykonos, you know, that picture is in your mind. And they're stunning. So to have the opportunity to go and experience that as part of a Mediterranean cruise is awesome. Of course, they're going back to Alaska. And Disney Cruise Line does Alaska so well because they're taking you on that inside passage. And that's the place that everyone wants to see, right? Who doesn't want to see the glaciers, the fell, you know, all of those things. That is the calving of the glaciers. All of those things are so, so incredible. That's like once in a lifetime. And I think once you do it once, then you want to go back again. So Alaska, incredible. For those of you who have been waiting to sail on the Fantasy but have not had the 7-night chunk that requires that, guess what? In 2020, you'll be able to, because the Fantasy is going to sail on some shorter cruises. So make sure you look at that if you're looking at different cruises. And of course, we're going to see a lot of itineraries in the Caribbean and the Bahamas. That's awesome. There are some double dips at Castaway Cay, so consider those. And the other thing to look at is now Adventures by Disney has these add-ons that you can do with the cruise, which basically allows you to explore some of the ports with an Adventures by Disney guide. And any of you who have experienced an Adventures by Disney vacation know that those guides are what make it. So imagine exploring some of these awesome ports with the Adventures by Disney guides. There's some really cool options available there too. And I haven't even mentioned, you know, all of the European cruises. There's cruises that are going to Denmark and so many other places, Croatia. Just think about some of these exotic port locations. And the beauty of it is you unpack once, you get to travel around and see all these different places. And I love that about cruising in general, especially for Europe. I think it's one of the best ways to see Europe. So,
yeah, the Magic Man goes some pretty sweet places. That's
a cool man, ship. It does. I mean, the British Isles, the Norwegian fjords, the Greek Isles, Poland. I mean, these are like bucket list destinations, but incredible. So make sure you look at those itineraries if you have not.
Yep. These are hashtag freaking magical cruises.
Okay. They certainly are. I would consider, you know, the pictures that come back from the Norwegian fjords vacations. I always think to myself, oh, that is incredible, or Alaska, but they are freaking magical. That's for sure.
All right. Well, hopefully this warmed you up. I know it's getting a little warmer this weekend here in the Midwest, but we're still not to spring. Hopefully this warmed you up and got you excited for cruising. Again, if you've never sailed with Disney Cruise Line, it's, you know, a lot of people ask me, like, I've never done it. You know, I don't know about the water. I don't know about being confined on a little bitty ship for a week. And the ships are not little bitty, by the way. Once you get on them, they're floating cities with amenities like a 5-star hotel. You know, I say get your feet wet once with like a, you know, 4 or 5 night Bahamian sailing. I think that's a great introduction to Disney Cruise Line.
At least four.
That's, you know, the threes are okay if like you're in a pinch, but I mean, do at least four. Go to the Bahamas if you're not sure about it, because you sail out of Port Canaveral, you're on the Dream. I love that the Dream is a very versatile ship. It's one of the larger ships with tons of activities. You know, you're not committed to 7 days, 7 nights. You get your feet wet there, and then you can really explore the world after that, because I'm telling you, when you get back, you're going to love it. You know, just give it a shot. And if you've sailed many times, you know, stretch yourself. You know, if you've been on the Dream, try the Fantasy, or go to Alaska on the Wonder, go to Europe on the Magic, add an Adventures by Disney. But like Pam said, you know, we're booking right now, and, you know, we ask that you always support the Magic for less. It helps keep the show on the air. But the best part about it is it costs you nothing extra. Exact same price as booking with Disney Cruise Line. You're going to have a great onboard credit sitting there in your account when you arrive on board. And you can spend it however you like, except for gratuities. And if you do it, you still can. Just don't tell me. I don't want to know. If you do, I'll find you.
Do it on something frivolous, my friends.
That's it. Don't tell me. So again, just drop by the Magic for Less. Check out all the itineraries. You know, fill out a quote form. Agent will get back to you with some initial pricing availability. Then we'll move on from there. But you will not regret a Disney cruise. The only thing you regret is that it's a habit that's hard to break. It really, like, I am always looking at videos lately of just people coming back from cruises. Mallory's doing the same. she knows all the YouTube cruising families, apparently. Like, oh, that is what our, like, yeah, we're going. So it's a really, it's a great way to experience Disney and experience the real world, which is really best of both worlds. So check them out over at the Magic for Less and let them know you heard about them here on the show. Give us a follow on the social media, because this weekend, Pam and Ricky are going to be at Flower and Garden, the kickoff down in Florida. So you know they're going to be posting stuff. So check them out at Be Our Guest Pod and at Be Our Guest Mike. Of course, Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And we'll have some bright colors and beautiful pictures for your weekend. All right, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back again on Monday with a great trip report. Thanks so much for joining us today. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. But whatever you do, stay safe. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.